WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in and happy Halloween. Hour number two of the program here on this Thursday morning, Halloween morning. And I hope your day is starting off well. And if it's not, we're going to make it spooky. We're going to try and make it as spooky as we can. And in fact, one of the things that we can talk about is, you know, I had mentioned that we can discuss Halloween candy. We can talk about what's the best and worst Halloween candy. I already put that up on Facebook. We got a few responses, but I'm surprised. I thought we'd get more responses to that. People usually have pretty strong opinions about candy. But in my opinion, best Reese's peanut butter cups, worst Bitto honey. Although we're getting some other good contenders for worst. Black licorice, Necco wafers. Also not a big fan of the Mary Janes and the fortune gum, which I don't even know if they make that anymore because it was pretty offensive. Definitely offensive if to anybody of Asian descent. But it was also offensive to anybody who was a fan of gum because it was horrible. It tasted horrible. And that is something that I would find way too often in my trick-or-treat bag. I think maybe I was also a victim, you know, not that that's really the right word. When you're getting free candy, is anybody really a victim? But I think what kind of hurt me was that I was trick-or-treating in my mom's old neighborhood as a kid growing up. We would go to my grandparents' house in Randolph, and we would go to their neighborhood because we moved around a lot, and as my mom said, you know, she knew everybody in the neighborhood. So she knew everybody was safe. She knew everybody was going to give out candy that wasn't poisoned, although my grandfather told us it was poison, except it was only the ones that he liked that were somehow poisoned, and then he could eat them because the poison only affected kids and wouldn't affect adults. It's like any parent that's eating something and their kid's like, oh, what's that? Can I have some? And they say, no, it's spicy. You wouldn't like it. Even though it's, you know, you're drinking a strawberry culotta. I don't think they make those anymore. But anyway, the point was, you know, this neighborhood was people that my mother knew and felt safe having us eat candy from. The other problem was they were all like 90 years old. And so they're giving us like candy that 90-year-old people think that kids want. They were giving us candy that was all the rage in the 1930s. Like, remember those, like, they were like gummy pennies? There was one lady that actually gave out real pennies. She gave every kid a bag of pennies. I forget if it was like 50 cents or a dollar, but it was a big bag of pennies. And of course, what we do with those, we'd whip them at each other. We called them penny bombs. There was another lady who, and keep in mind, this is before the, you know, mini everything revolution. This is when it wasn't really easy to find little bags of potato chips in stores. That was something that you got from like canteen trucks. or like you bought a single bag somewhere. You couldn't buy a case of them somewhere. But this, I don't know, this lady had access to them. She gave everybody a little bag of potato chips. Wise potato chips. Must have worked, must have had a family member that worked for the company or something. Or they worked for the company before they retired, because this woman was quite old. But Wise potato chips. There was also the lady that gave out apples. We were not allowed to eat the apples. Like, if we know that the lady's going to give out apples, and then we're not going to be able to eat the apples, why do we go to her door? Why don't we just walk past that house? Because that'd be rude. Okay. So throwing away an apple where there's nothing wrong with it. No, it's so easy for people to put needles in apples, as if somebody was actually sitting at their house putting needles in apples, thinking to themselves, ha, 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 I'm going to get those little bratty kids. I'm going to put a needle in the apple. That'll get them. Then they're going to poke themselves in the mouth with a needle. We're talking like a sewing needle. And then that hysteria, that nonsensical hysteria, has spread to the 2024 version of this is now the story. And I'm so thankful we didn't have anybody try to write this story this year or anybody sharing it around, because I think we finally learned our lesson. But the cannabis candy that looks so much like real candy that people are giving it to kids on Halloween to fool them into taking cannabis. Nobody's doing that. Nobody's saying to themselves, I'm going to go spend all this money on weed candy and give that to kids instead. Regular candy is expensive enough. Nobody's getting weed candy and then giving it out to kids. Now, is it possible some people mix it up and, you know, oh, whoops, I didn't mean for the kids to get that candy. I'm sure that has happened, yes. Especially if the person handing out the candy has already had some of that adult candy first. But nobody is intentionally trying to give kids cannabis candy. Well, but they want them. They want them to get addicted to it. And then they're going to want more. Okay. That's not happening. That wouldn't happen. And also, how would the kids know that they got high and that it was that particular piece of candy from that particular house that gave it to them? And then they're going to go back and knock on the door and say, hey, you got any more of that really good candy? It doesn't make any sense. And most of the hysteria and the paranoia that has popped up around Halloween has never made any sense. Are there people that are going to drive around and toilet paper people's houses? And yeah. Is it going to happen? It's going to happen. It always does. Except for Halloween 2020. Nobody could find the toilet paper. But I think that, you know, those kind of things are going to happen. Or might your house get egged? Yes, my house got egged 1 year. And what a pain it was trying to get all the egg off. You can pretty much guarantee if somebody throws eggs at your house, even if you get to it pretty quickly, you're going to need a power washer. The hose doesn't get all the egg from in between the cracks in the siding and everything else. You've got to get a power washer. But also, eggs are expensive, right? We go to the supermarket and we see how much eggs cost, although the prices have gone down. They've gone down quite a bit. In fact, the last time I bought eggs, they seem pretty normal, the prices. But nobody's going to go out and buy a whole bunch of eggs at that price just to go and throw them at people's houses. And if they do, it does wash off, but use the power washer. There's so much stuff. And I'm surprised because of the release of Terrifier 3 And the fact that it's such a popular film, it's been one of the top box office attractions of the month of October. I'm surprised we haven't had the kidnapping clowns story pop up. It certainly popped up when the It movie came out. Both parts. Part one and part two. But I haven't heard the kidnapping clowns rumor yet. You know, where white vans are driving around town and there's clowns seen behind the wheel and then they kidnap the kids. That clown hysteria has been going on since the John Wayne Gacy story broke. Was that late 70s, early 80s? So that's when that story really started, and it's never gone away. We've had it happen here on the South Coast in numerous waves. I grew up on, you know, the Randolph, Brockton, Plymouth, then Sandwich, Wareham. I grew up kind of down this way, and I heard the stories about the clowns in the white vans kidnapping kids. And Chris Balzano grew up in the North Shore and Woburn and Worcester area, and he was all over up the northern, and he heard the same stories. So did people who lived in California and Idaho and Michigan and Florida, because it's just a story. It wasn't true, but it still resurfaces. And I'm surprised with the popularity of Art the Clown from Terrifier that it hasn't happened again. And the fear of clowns is a real thing. And it's not, if somebody has that, it's not, I don't know, I was going to say, it's not their fault that they fall for some of the hysteria, but I mean, I think even if you're afraid of clowns, a rational thinking person looks at the facts and says, yeah, that's not happening. If it was happening, police departments would be warning people about it. There'd be news coverage about it. It wouldn't just be something that was, you know, now is a rumor that happens on the internet. But when we were kids, it was something that kids talked about in school. And then we would always say, well, why aren't the adults doing anything about it? They're in on it. Oh, that makes total sense. Right, because the adults want their kids to get kidnapped. Listen, if your parents didn't want you anymore and they were willing to let killer clowns kidnap you, they could just drop you off. They could bring you to like the killer clown hideout, knock on the door and say, here you go. Turn this kid into cotton candy. So I don't know. I've never really fell for some of these Halloween, I was going to say hocus pocus stuff, but then I have to remind everybody that I've never seen that film, and then I'm going to get people that are like, I can't believe you've never seen Hocus Pocus. I had a listener actually send me a DVD copy of it. I still didn't watch it. I've never seen it. I was too old for it when it came out. I have no nostalgic connection to it, and I don't need it. It's kind of like The Office. I've never seen The Office, and everybody can't believe I've never seen The Office. You've never seen The Office. And it's gotten built up so much to the point now where I will never watch it. If I just have the TV on in the background and it comes on, I actively move to change the channel. Just because it's become a thing now that I've never seen it. 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. I hope that no matter what your plans are for the day, you get to have a little Halloween fun. And if you need to have some Halloween fun in your life, you can check out the stories that we're posting to the WBSM Facebook page regarding some of these local haunted places. There's an article that went up this morning on the weird paranormal history of Dartmouth's Round Hill. So not just the ghostly stuff too, but there's been some UFO sightings there over the years and some other stuff. And maybe because Ned Green was drawing that kind of activity over there. So you can check that out. We also have the story of the statue at a New Bedford cemetery that could be watching you. That's up there on our Facebook page. We have the story of the ghosts that haunt Burial Hill in Plymouth. The old woman that changes the channel on your radio outside of the Fairhaven nursing home. Later on today, we're going to have a story posted there about one of the most infamous haunts on all of the South Coast. It's not around anymore, but when I go out and I do presentations or I talk about ghosts, or even on this program when we start talking about ghosts, inevitably somebody calls in and says, well, what about the house next to White's? What do you know about that? And so I took everything that I know about that and I put it into an article. And the true story is not as exciting as the legend, but there's still some interesting things that happen. So that'll be up on Facebook later on. We also have a story up there today, and it's also on WBSM.com and on the WBSM app, of a very interesting item that was found left behind at a local New Bedford restaurant. So the Dipper Cafe, most people know it for the fantastic South Shore bar style pizza that they serve over there. But yesterday they were making headlines for something else. And I use headlines in radio air quotes because, you know, it's not the most important story of the day, but it was a fun story. And again, I'm looking for stories of levity all the time, because not only do I know you're tired of hearing about all the negativity in the world, I get tired of writing about it. So I try to find some fun stories to write each week where it's a little bit more lighthearted and I can have some fun with it and joke around. And, you know, you read it and you say, oh, that's 5 minutes of my life I'll never get back. But then you tell somebody else about it later on. And so yesterday's story was that they found a pair of teeth in the alley outside the Dipper Cafe. And they you know, just want to let the person that might have left them behind know that they're there if they're looking for them. You never know what could have happened. It could have been somebody bought a pizza and they were so excited to dive into it because it's delicious that they opened up the pizza and they bit into it and it was too hot and they're like, ah. And as they're trying to cool off their mouth, their teeth fell out. And then they don't know where they went. So the Dipper just wants you to know that they're outside if you need them. Maybe they're not your teeth, but maybe you are looking, maybe you're in the market for a set of teeth. I don't know. I don't judge. I would hope that you'll give them back if the person comes forward and claims them. But if they're just going to sit there on the ground and you can use them, I'd wash them off first. Might not be an exact fit, but. And then, you know, I put that out on social media and somebody has to, this was on the Fun 107 page. And somebody comments, is this news? Like, I didn't realize that we had changed the name to News 107. I thought it was Fun 107. So we're trying to find fun stories that don't really weigh on your brain too much. Anyway, 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails in the WBSM app. I'm going to take a break right now, and we'll be back in a few moments. One of the coolest TV intros of all time. And what a great series that was. Definitely worth a rewatch. And John Cassier, the voice of the Crypt Keeper, one of the nicest people in the world. I had the chance to work a couple of conventions with him now. Great guy. And you get a lot of the humor that the Crypt Keeper had definitely came from John. Anyway, We're going to take more of your calls coming up. But right now, it's time to go into the spooky newsroom and get all the top stories of the day from Phil Devitt.
Trump and Harris in the final campaign stretch. A new number in the McDonald's E. coli outbreak. And how to avoid eating all that Halloween candy.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Election day is fast approaching, and the candidates are making their final stops. Donald Trump arrived to a Wisconsin campaign event in a MAGA-themed garbage truck.
And I have to begin by saying 250 million Americans are not garbage.
Trump rode the truck in an effort to draw attention to comments made by President Biden, who called Trump supporters garbage. Those remarks were in response to remarks about Puerto Rico made by a comic at Trump's Madison Square Garden rally. Kamala Harris was on the campaign trail, also in the battleground state of Wisconsin.
As president, I pledge to seek common ground and common sense solutions to the challenges you face. I am not looking to score political points. I am looking to make progress.
The vice president hosted a rally in Madison, saying it was good to be back in the town where she spent several years of her childhood. Biden will be at the next presidential inauguration. That's according to White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre. During Wednesday's press briefing, Jean-Pierre said the president believes in the peaceful transfer of power. The U.S. military conducted several strikes on ISIS camps in Syria this week. It reported the strikes conducted on Monday resulted in the deaths of nearly three dozen ISIS operatives. Senior ISIS leaders were the targets of the airstrikes. The number of people infected from the McDonald's Quarter Pounder E. coli outbreak has risen to 90. Brian Shook with the details.
The CDC says 27 have been hospitalized and one person was killed as a result. Two more people developed a serious condition that can cause kidney failure. The outbreak was first reported on October 22nd and has affected 13 states. Colorado has the highest number of infections with 29 people sickened. I'm Brian Shook.
A hearing to decide the fate of the Menendez brothers is set for December. TMZ reports a judge will make a decision on that day that could see Eric and Lyle walk free immediately. The brothers were convicted of fatally shooting their parents in 1989, claiming it was out of fear of abuse. House Speaker Mike Johnson denying that he wants to repeal Obamacare. The Louisiana Republican told The Hill that despite Vice President Harris's campaign referring to comments he made at a campaign stop, he never said he wanted to end Obamacare. And it's safe to say Halloween is not a big day for health. Bree Tennis with the better choice from the candy dish.
The problem with sugar is it makes you crave more sugar, but it's the component that makes everything good. Everyday Health says to satisfy that craving and not fall into a sugar coma this Halloween, reach for smaller portions. Dark chocolate has antioxidants and anything with nuts because nuts boost protein. The reality is you probably won't because Reese's Peanut Butter Cups is the number one selling candy for a reason.
WBSM Sports.
Celtics lost to the Indiana Pacers in overtime, 135-132. They head to Charlotte to play the Hornets on Friday. Bruins and the Carolina Hurricanes tonight at 7. And the Patriots and Tennessee Titans on Sunday afternoon.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Getting up to about 80 degrees on the South Coast today to finish out October. Nice day for Halloween. Should be nice and comfortable for trick-or-treaters tonight. Still warm on Friday. A cold front bringing light showers early in the day and cooler air for the first week of November back in the 50s. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Stop your heart. You try to scream.
welcome back in. Now, Thriller, of course, was the best-selling album of all time for a while. It got surpassed by the Eagles' Greatest Hits. And I think that's still... I think there's still one and two. I'm not sure. I haven't checked the record charts in a long time. But there was also... There was also a profound kind of anything Michael Jackson did in that time period turned to gold. Thriller was the biggest album ever at that time. Like nobody had ever seen a sales phenomenon like that. You know, the Beatles had come and had, you know, changed music, but this was like a cash cow Thriller. And so everything was marketed in relation to Michael Jackson, that album. Michael wore the one white glove. You could go into the store and buy the one white glove. I remember I had one, the sequined glove, and the sequins would fall off. It was terrible. Michael wore sparkly socks. You could go into the store and buy those sparkly socks. I know I had them. I didn't have the Thriller jacket. I had the Beat It jacket, but you could buy either one. There were Michael Jackson dolls. That was like a Barbie doll that came in either the Beat It or the Thriller outfit, and you could buy other outfits. I had it. I had a screen-printed handkerchief that was the Thriller album cover. I mean, if they could make money off of it, they made it. And as part of that, you know, the music video for Thriller, the short film, became hugely popular. MTV was having to run it frequently, and the problem was it was so long that they could only run it so many times a day, or else they'd be taking up time and they'd be running other artists. But people just wanted to see it and wanted to see it and wanted to see it, so they released it on home video. And you could actually buy the music video to take home and watch, or rent from the store, and they put like a making of Thriller on it as well, like a behind the scenes of how they made it, which was also very fascinating. But then there was also concern as that became more and more popular, because at the time, you know, the horror was fun, but we were also coming out of the Satanic Panic. Now, the Thriller video plays into like the I Was a Teenage Werewolf type, you know, the fun and innocent horror of the 50s. That's kind of what it played into. It's not playing into the Satanic Panic. The zombies dancing, you know, that plays into Night of the Living Dead, which was well before the Satanic Panic. So this is like when horror was still fun and campy and, you know, didn't really scare people. It was more about like that was what people wanted to go see in the movie theater. But I don't know anybody that was terrified of I Was a Teenage Werewolf. Well, wait a minute. Obviously, Richie Trashmouth Tozier in Stephen King's It was terrified by it. But besides him, anybody else. And so the idea that this was, that there was backlash to the Thriller video, I think was more because people just had a backlash against Michael Jackson than they did the actual themes of the video. But it led to them putting a disclaimer on the video in which Michael Jackson had to say, "Due to my strong personal convictions, I wish to stress that this film in no way endorses a belief in the occult." Like, it's werewolves and werewolves and zombies, Mike. Nobody thought that you were, you know, a black magician. I mean, that is, you know, black magic. I don't think anybody thought you were, you know, actually conjuring up real zombies. I think people knew it was a movie. But he put that disclaimer on there. And part of that, too, was because he came from a family of Jehovah's Witnesses, and he got backlash within his own family about what was in that video. But it's kind of funny how, you know, we wouldn't even think about that twice in 2024, but in, you know, 1982, 83, they had to put that kind of disclaimer on there. And it, you know, it didn't stop it from still becoming one of the highest selling home videos of all time. And for years on Halloween, you could turn into MTV, you know, when they showed music videos, and they would always be running it. And they'd usually run the making of, too. Just a great little music video, and really showed that they can do more with the music video format. And he went on to make more short films as music videos as well. And he went on to make more songs that you could say involve the occult. As I mentioned yesterday, he had Ghosts and made a movie about that as well. And he also had Threatened, which was basically him saying, I'm a demon. So very, very interesting stuff. That there was a time when America was so innocent that Thriller was considered the occult. And what was the story? Vincent Price says, if I remember the story correctly, they offered him, he could either get a flat rate for coming in and recording his vocals for Thriller, or he could get royalties. And he said, I'll take the flat rate. Nobody's going to buy an album with a song like this on it. You know, it's going to be a hokey little thing that horror fans will like or something, but, you know, it's not going to go anywhere. Then turned out to be the biggest selling album of all time. So not the smartest move on Vincent Price's part, but certainly a memorable turn. 508-996-0500. The sun is starting to break out here. We are going to have a nice, warm Halloween. Second warmest on record is what they're saying. Certainly not going to need a jacket tonight for trick-or-treating. You're not going to have to put a jacket on over your costume. You don't have to be Batman walking around in a winter coat. And then tomorrow we're going to have some more of the same, and then it'll get a little bit cooler, but I like a nice warm Halloween, even though I'm not really going to get a chance to get out and enjoy it. Hopefully you will. But as the sun is coming out and you're thinking to yourself, well, at least that's 2 days I'm not going to have to turn on the heat, because you're worried about those bills, right? You know that we're only a couple of weeks away from having that heat on all the time and watching your home heating bill skyrocket. And if you have electric as your home heating source, with everything else that you got plugged into your house all the time and the rates that they're charging for electricity, you're really worried. But there's a way you can offset some of that, and that's by going solar. Because by investing in solar, you'll not only save on your bills, eventually you'll get to the point where the electric company is paying you for the power that you're generating while you're not having to worry about the bills at all. I don't care if you sleep with the TV on. It's not costing us anything. But to get to that point, you have to go solar. But a lot of people say, well, I want to go solar, but I don't want to put solar panels on my house. I have a historic home, or, you know, I like the look of my home and I don't want to put solar panels on it and have that distract from the facade of my home. You don't have to. They can put solar panels anywhere on your property and feed that power right back to your house. They can put them on top of a garage. They can put them in the backyard. They can put them in the side yard. They can put them anywhere that you've got the space. But what they can also do is they can build unique structures for them. And nobody does that better than Isaacson Solar. I have seen on their Facebook page the solar pavilions they can put in your backyard. I have seen the carports that they can put on your property to not only collect that solar energy, but to protect your car as well. So imagine having a little pavilion in your backyard, like a gazebo, something where your family can go and hang out when they're outside, and maybe where you can hide and scare the kids on Halloween. But then it's also doubling as a place where you are collecting solar power. That's the best of both worlds. If you want to see it in action, check out the Isaacson Solar Facebook page. And if you want to have them come out and talk to you about going solar, if you want to have them come out and talk to you about all of these things that you hear about, are they gimmicks? Are they real? Can you really get paid to go solar? They will sit down with you, answer all of your questions, come up with innovative ideas for you to be able to go solar on your property. And if you still don't want to do it, that's okay. Walk away. No harm, no foul. But if you do want to do it, they'll give you a free no obligation quote. You can still consider that with your family before you make the ultimate decision. You want to find out more? Go to their website, isaacsonsolar.com, I-S-A-K-S-E-N, isaacsonsolar.com, and check out their Facebook page to see some of those innovative solar ideas. We'll be back in just a few moments. Welcome back. And that was the song that we used to not be able to play on Spooky South Coast, because every time we tried to play it, something would go wrong. The computer would freeze up and we'd go off the air and things like that. But we thought maybe we were victims of the poltergeist curse. But it turns out it was probably more just the computer was getting old and had to be replaced. So we were talking about some horror films that you might like to watch on Halloween. DSY says, The Night of the Living Dead I saw at the Center Theater on the Avenue when it first came out with my parents. I still remember whatever year that was. That was what, 69? Is that right? Hold on, I'll look it up. 68. So that was a groundbreaking film. And it really gave birth to the zombie genre that we have today. Before that, zombies were a little bit different in the way they were portrayed. If you look at some of the 1930s and 40s movies that involved zombies. And they were very much centered around, you know, the Haitian voodoo practice. But then Night of the Living Dead made it so that zombies could happen anywhere. And we wouldn't have The Walking Dead. We wouldn't have some of these other movies that have come out in recent years without Night of the Living Dead, which really kind of revolutionized and made indie horror a thing. And there are some really great low-budget horror. And horror movies are one of the few genres where you can make a low-budget movie and people actually appreciate it. People like it better. People love Roger Corman movies where, you know, they look like they were made for $50. Because that's part of the charm. So don't be shy about watching some of those cheesy kind of B movies. Because you'll get some good entertainment out of some of those. I think I'm gonna launch an initiative for myself to go and watch every horror Hammer film. And maybe just every Hammer film. Because those weren't really high budget, but they're good dramatic tension in those films. Anyway, I've got to take one more break. We'll be back in just a few moments.